911, what's the address of your emergency?
It's not.
The story is true.
Summit County Justice Files.
Summit County Justice Files, where all the stories are true. And it's all about the fun we get to have in Summit County, Colorado. Welcome to the Summit County Justice Files, your weekly dose of law and order Summit County style, brought to you by Crystal 93 and the Summit County Sheriff's Office. I'm Tom Fricke with Crystal 93, here with Summit County Sheriff Jeremy Fitzsimons, and we're here to inform and educate and engage with our community.
Yeah, now before we get started, Tom, just a quick disclaimer. The Justice Files exclude some of the more serious and sensitive offenses, as well as ongoing investigations that could jeopardize prosecution. And of course, everyone accused of a crime is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Crime may not pay, but it sure makes for some interesting stories. So buckle up as we dive into the latest criminal activity, the lessons learned, and yes, more than just a few minutes of law enforcement levity. Because while justice is serious business, a little humor never hurt anyone. Unless, of course, it was a crime of bad jokes. A crime which we...
Do we do that?
Plead guilty occasionally.
Innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Unless it's the bad jokes, and then we'll admit it right away.
Court.
Let's get into it. The first item, there was a man who called deputies for help after an assigned roommate in employee housing got aggressive and attempted to kick in the door to his room. The roommate was intoxicated, and the man advised that he regularly gets out of control and tries to enter other people's rooms when under the influence. And we have a 911 call.
Summit County 911, what's the address of the emergency?
And I have a neighbor that I share a bathroom with, and he's been getting drunk the past couple of weeks, and it's been a problem, but I haven't really done anything about it. But he almost, like, he's trying to kick down his door, like drop kicking his door down, and he almost broke my door, and now he's in our bathroom. I don't know what he's doing right now. I went down to a neighbor and just told him.
Wait, mate, he's just like a neighbor, is that correct?
Yeah, like he's the neighboring, like we share a bathroom, if that makes sense. Like, so like I have one room and then the bathroom connects another room.
And he's currently inside of the bathroom?
Yes, I think so. I don't know. The last time I was up there, he was trying to kick down his bathroom door.
Okay, and where are you?
I'm in the, just like with my buddy. Just, I don't know. I'm not dealing with that. I'd rather just get him out.
Does he have weapons that you know of?
No, I think so. He's like
belligerent
drunk, but like sporadic, but I'm not messing with him.
And then, do you know the name of the roommate or the neighbor?
No idea. Haven't got to know him because he's just been getting drunk. You know, I don't have any interest in knowing him.
So just so you know, we do have a couple of officers coming over to help you out and try and figure out what's going on with that roommate, neighbor. When you see the officers pull up on scene, if you don't mind, like, just going out and identifying yourself so that they know that you're the one that called.
Cool, yeah.
Okay, perfect. And if anything changes, escalates before the officers get there, please feel free to call me back on 911. Let me know what's going on, okay?
Cool. I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I have an image of this guy trying to drop kick a door, and he lands just flat on his ass.
Animal House comes to mind, right?
Totally.
Like, oh my God. We sure. First of all, that guy sounds like he should sing country music or something, that voice, you know?
Great voice.
But man, I mean, it sounds like a Jack and Jill bathroom, like in employee housing that you get assigned to, which must really suck if you draw the short stick.
Oof.
As this guy found out. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Comes to ski for the season, comes to employee housing, and then gets this roommate that just drinks a lot.
Oh, maybe he was laid off due to the lack of snow, and employees have had hours cut back. So what are you going to do?
I'm going to drink what little money I have left, and then I'm going to kick my neighbor's bathroom door in.
So did he wind up kicking a door in at all?
You know, he ended up damaging both doors.
Oh, yeah.
Deputies got there. The drunk guy... you know, went into his apartment, wouldn't come out. The sober guy, the that called the 911 opted to go spend the night down the hallway at his buddy's house and let housing figure it out in the morning. You know, the housing people there at employee housing. So he decided not to press any charges because it's not really his property. He's just running there and let the housing people get involved in it. But what an unfortunate. I mean, this is, I used to call when I moved here and employee housing in those days was really attic. I mean, I used to refer to it as being in a college dorm without the responsibility of having to go to school the next morning.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It was just full-time partying all the
time.
Out of control. And it's, well, I would say it's calmed down a lot until you get a call like this and go, well, God, has it calmed down?
So what happened to this guy? Did we find the culprit who was trying to kick down doors?
Yeah, we did. He wouldn't come out. We had no reason to go in. You know, he was by himself drunk. We had no reason to go in and get him.
Yeah.
But then the guy that called 911 did report him to housing, and I'm sure he got evicted, fired and evicted the next day.
That's what happens.
Because they're pretty swift.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, then he went and worked at another resort. because that's what they do.
That's
it's sort of like cowboys switching ranches. You
right,
know what I mean?
Yeah,
you get kicked
yeah.
off one ranch, you go work at another ranch.
Yeah, I worked over at the RRL, but you don't want to ask about that. I didn't have a good time there. So.
Oh, my God. When we used to come across people working at different resorts here in Summit County, and then when we caught on to this game about, you know, you get fired at Keystone today and you'd be working at, you know, Copper tomorrow, we end up getting with HRs going, do you guys even talk to each other? Like, do you realize the people that, but sometimes they're looking for a warm body.
And sometimes you just want to put a notification out there that here's the guy's name. Do not hire.
Yeah, do not hire.
Yeah.
Not eligible for rehire.
Right.
How about that? Simple.
Yeah, simple.
Put a note in the file.
Yeah.
Kicks in doors when drunk, which is every night.
Well, there's another item where a driver called 911 after a woman behind her on the road began aggressively tailgating her vehicle. The driver felt unsafe heading home as the woman seemed to be following her and she didn't want to lead her to her address. And to shake her off, the driver made several turns, essentially going in circles, but the woman continued to follow closely behind. And this one has 911 audio and some body cam audio as well to go along with the incident.
Yeah, you can't make this
911,
out.
911, what's the address of the emergency?
I have someone that is tailing me on Swan Mountain Road. I passed them, they pulled over, and I passed them, and now they are, like, right on my bumper. I think they've hit my bumper once.
Where are you at?
I'm going towards Summit Cove. I mean, they're, like, I can't even see their lights. They're, like, on my bumper. And I'm pretty sure that they're going to follow me to my house.
What kind of vehicle is it?
I don't know. They're high-beaming me. I can't tell what kind of car it is. They're trying to pass me now. Now they're backing off quite a bit. Oh, God, I don't know why.
Okay.
Yeah, and now they're speeding up. I swear to God, if they hit me.
Did they actually make contact with your vehicle?
They might have. I mean, I'm trying not to speed away from them, but they are, like, on my ass.
Hello.
Hey.
Body cam.
What's going on?
Nothing.
Why are you following that car that was in front of you?
They were killing me on Summit Cove.
Okay. And?
They passed me. And, like, they were following me.
No. So I was behind you guys and watched you both take this exit right here, get to that stop sign, both take a U-turn, and you're behind them the whole time. So why are you following them all the way out to Keystone to turn around and then come back?
They were tailgating me over Swan Mountain Road. Like, they were speeding up on me. Like, I was upset.
Okay, and what was your plan?
Nothing. What was their plan? Like,
you're the one following. You're the one following them. Were you just gonna follow around on that? Follow them home?
I mean, I was just upset that they were tailgating me over Swan Mountain Road.
Okay, because they said that you were tailgating them.
They passed me, at Sapphire Point, and I was upset. Like, they were... Okay.
Okay. Where are you coming from?
Breckenridge. I was at my friend's house.
Okay. How much have you had a drink tonight?
I had a beer.
A beer?
It's always what kind of beer. Was it?
Just one.
Telluride. Brown ale.
Okay. Can I get your license, registration, proof of insurance?
I'm surprised that you guys were not on Swan Mountain Road. Like, I don't know where you were when they were tailgating me.
So if they were tailgating you, how did they wind up
because
in front
I
of you?
Because I pulled over because they were tailgating me.
So they were tailgating you, you pulled over, they went around you,
yes.
and then what?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
They were tailgating me over Swan Mountain Road.
Did you get close enough that you would have hit their car?
No.
Okay. Because they said that you bumped into the back of their car. So your story is that they were tailgating you.
Yes.
You pulled over at Sapphire Point.
Absolutely.
Listen to me. They were tailgating you. You yes. pulled over around Sapphire Point. They went around you.
Yes.
And then why did you feel the need to then follow them all the way here? Do you understand how that it's kind of problematic? I mean, where are you even trying to go to right now?
Where are they going?
I think she's trying to get away from you.
You're trying to reason with a
where
drunk
are you
here.
Going? Because your
God bless
address lives in Frisco, but you were clearly coming over Swan, so I'm guessing you're trying to be on this side of town.
I'm going home.
Where's home?
Summit Cove.
Okay.
And they were totally tailgating me.
Okay, I will concede the tailgating part, right? But do you understand how you following them all the way from Summit Cove to here and then turned around and was continue following them back? Do you understand how that's kind of problematic?
Kind of, but like, why?
It's hard when you've had a beer.
They were tailgating me and until I had to pull over.
Sure.
Like, why is that?
And look, I didn't see them doing that, right? So I can't really make a judgment call on something that I didn't witness.
Did you see me?
But I saw you following them, and you're clearly you're so far from Summit Cove that I just don't know what you were planning on doing.
Following them like super close.
But it's not the point. It's not how would you feel if a stranger just started following you while you were driving?
I felt that way.
But you were following them.
No, I felt that way about them when they were tailgating me.
Sure, and then I think you did the right thing by pulling over and letting them go around you, but then you did the wrong thing by following them. When you could have easily just turned into the cove and gone home and been done with this.
She didn't know where she was going.
The wrong thing started with drinking and then getting behind the wheel of a car.
Well, that's where it starts.
That's where it started.
Yeah. Yes. Just had one. Sure.
I appreciate the deputy's patience and sense of humor, but dealing with a drunk that clearly had no idea what she was doing.
Your deputies have an amazing amount of patience to deal with some of the people they have to deal with.
Isn't that true? I mean, just the things we listen to, right?
Yeah, right. And this is just a fraction of the encounters.
This is just a fraction of the encounters.
Wow.
She obviously was impaired, put her through roadsides. She did not complete. She did not complete a sobriety test that, at the level of a sober person.
Uh-huh.
And went to the Summit County Detention Center. To where she became even more uncooperative, if you can believe it.
Oh, really?
Yes. There's a note saying that became even more uncooperative when she realized she was going to jail. And then, can you imagine the jail deputies? Right now, she's in a cell. Uh-huh. They've got to listen to this now. They're a captured audience. They have to listen to her the rest of the night.
And you just can't tell her to shut up
because it's like a broken record, right?
It just
starts over.
They're tailgating me.
Yeah.
I was first to be tailgated before I tailgated them.
I like how the deputy's trying to explain to her, like, you know, I was behind you.
I was watching.
Not only do we have body camera, but we also have dash cameras, you know. Right. Like, I have you on camera doing this.
Let's talk about this weapons incident. Deputies responded to a report of a male who was making concerning statements about explosives and cyber attacks.
Yeah, this was another investigation on the heels of the one we had talked about the last time, where someone had planned an active shooter attack at one of the ski resorts.
Yeah, this sounds like that incident. This is a different one.
This is another one.
Oh, man.
That we were dealing with at a different resort, where, again, this time it was a roommate that called 911 and said, "Hey, you know, my roommate has some things that I don't think he should have in his room, and he's talking gibberish about a planned attack." And we were able to put this thing together, and he did have weapons that he shouldn't have had and magazines that were illegal, and got booked and charged with this stuff and all the evidence seized.
So how close was he to actually doing something?
We never know because up until now we're able to stop it before.
Right.
So you just never know what is that next triggering thing. How close were they? And of course, once you get them into custody, they don't want to talk.
Yeah, they clam up.
Right. Yeah.
Boy. So still.
Yeah, this is just a note. Like, this is still going on. I mean, it's hard to go into details of this because you certainly don't want to give someone that might be listening to this any ideas about how we detected this or what we do to prevent these things. But just a note to say, you know, these things happen even here. This is the second one within a couple week period. So
Shout out to the roommate who saw something and said something. That's huge. Let's talk about another weapon incident. A man in unincorporated Frisco accidentally fired his firearm when cleaning it, reporting that he didn't realize there was a bullet in the chamber.
Is that what you do?
Whoopsie. The bullet went through a window of his home and struck a neighbor's truck, and we have 911 audio and body cam audio on this incident as well.
911, what's the address of your emergency?
It's not an emergency, but I do need an officer to respond.
I'm calling on myself.
Man, I can't believe this. I was cleaning a .22 rifle that I have here in my house, and I can't believe I had a round in the chamber. Mm-hmm. And I accidentally discharged. It went out my window. It hit my neighbor's truck. I've already spoken with my neighbor and everything, man, but I have to self-report. I cannot believe I did this.
Is anybody injured?
No one's injured. It's non-emergent. I mean, I have to own what just happened.
Yeah, how long ago did this happen?
Well, maybe 10 minutes.
Okay, where's the gun at right now?
It's just sitting here, and you know, right, kind of next to where it was discharged.
Inside the home.
That's correct.
Okay. I was just about to say that when officers do arrive and you go out to meet them, don't have that gun with you. Just leave it where
it is. That's a good idea.
No problem there, yeah.
Okay, we'll go ahead and get an officer over there to help you out, okay?
Hey, you got anything on you? Just right now?
No.
Okay, all right. Just given the circumstances, can we just pat you down, just make sure?
Of course, sir,
okay.
Of course.
Can you just turn around, just put your hands above your head again? You're not under arrest, okay? We just gotta make sure.
No, I understand, guys.
We just gotta make sure you got nothing on you, okay? Just given. Yep.
Everybody take you out, man. It's like 101.
Okay, you're okay. Hey, man, is there
it's
anyone?
It's not okay, though. I gotta own this shit, man.
I just need you to breathe, okay?
I'm trying, man. This is intense. It's like a bullet going through my neighborhood because of me.
I get it. Hey, is there anybody else inside?
My boys are home from school. There's no school today.
Okay. Is anyone injured inside?
No, guys, this is a one-off.
Okay, I understand. I just have to ask, okay? And where it was fired from?
Goes from crying to pissed off.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we go in, can you just kind of give us a rundown? Because we still have to like take pictures and we have to do the whole thing.
Completely understood, guys.
Okay. So what went on?
Okay, so I was gonna go to the gun range in about 30 minutes, and this is a brand new rifle for me. It's a super brand new scope on the rifle. I greased inside, didn't open the action, but greased inside, and then I was adjusting. This one has an adjustable, self-adjustable trigger tension.
Okay. Luckily, no one's hurt right now.
I know, but it doesn't change.
I know it's hard to
think
about what ifs, but We just need to know what did happen, okay?
I'm like blown up, man. I'm more collected than this normally, guys. I'm so sorry.
I get it.
This is intense.
I get it.
Okay. So, just I put some REM oil in it.
Mm-hmm.
I was messing with the little... This one has, like, the onboard tool. You take it off the stock, and you can adjust the trigger pressure.
Uh-huh.
At first, I was sitting on the... Well, anyway, it doesn't matter. I pick the gun up, and I look through the window.
Which window?
This window right here that has the tape. I've already taped it up.
Okay.
Okay, I looked through my window.
Okay.
And I was actually looking at this little tiny aspen tree right here in front of us.
Okay.
And, you know, I was just kind of looking loosely. And I went to, like, check that trigger
tension.
And a round came out of it, man.
Okay.
We put it away clearly last time with a round in the chamber.
In the chamber.
And I never looked. The clip wasn't in it.
Okay.
It did. It's all the 101 shit, man. It's all like shit I learned when I was 8 years old. 100%.
Okay.
Apparently forgot.
Yeah. Well, nobody got hurt, thankfully.
Nobody got hurt, but he did get a summons for prohibited use of a weapon and for reckless endangerment. I mean, these things... I wouldn't say they happen frequently, but they do happen. And, you know, luckily, in this instance, nobody got hurt or killed. I mean, when you have rounds flying through the air near other homes and they go through cars, and you know, these deputies got to go check the neighboring house and make sure that not only the car that the bullet went in, but to make sure it didn't kill someone in the car getting out of it or someone in the house. Yeah. But no one was injured, but he did get a summons, and hopefully he'll remember next time that... Unload that gun.
Man, you could tell he was upset, definitely upset. And he was blaming himself. And it's, you know, 101, firearms 101, check the chamber.
Check the chamber and don't pull the trigger until you've done that. Don't don't mess with the trigger.
Right. Yeah.
Don't assume anything.
It's one of those things where you've got to be safe. If there's firearms involved and you own a firearm, you got to know how to use it safely.
Yeah, and we live in the land of, you know, a lot of responsible firearm owners, and stuff like this just tarnishes responsible people.
Let's talk about how we learn responsibility for handling firearms. Hunter safety courses, obviously, being the one where I learned as a kid.
Yeah, there are lots of courses out there. Yeah, there's lots of different courses.
So where do we find the courses?
You can look online. You can go on the Summit County Sheriff's Office website, summitsheriffcolorado.gov, and we have a list of certified instructors on there that offer all kinds of various courses. NRA offers courses.
So even if you've gone through in high school or middle school
or when you were eight
years old, even if you went through the courses back then, you can forget things if you're not using those things on a regular basis. So a little refresher never hurt anyone.
I mean, even as law enforcement, I mean, we're training every
all
month.
All the time.
Yeah. And sometimes it's back to the very basics.
Yep.
As you just said.
Back to the basics.
So even cops do. Even cops constantly practice the basics.
Let's talk about this fraud incident. A woman contacted deputies after her ex-boyfriend was pulled over while driving her car. During the traffic stop, he gave the deputy her ex-husband's name and date of birth, which led to her ex-husband being issued a summons. However, since her ex-husband was unaware of the summons, he didn't attend court, resulting in a warrant being issued due to his failure to appear in court. Oh, what a wicked web we weave.
you and I talk about all these different frauds all the time, but this one is like an all-time low, right? Uh-huh. I mean, you're going to pose, you get pulled over, you're going to pose as your girlfriend's ex-husband and give the cops all that information.
I'm just trying to think the reasoning that would lead you to believe that's an advantage. Unless you have a warrant already out for your arrest. Well,
or
you don't
unless, like
your
we
name.
Talk about all the time, right, you don't have a driver's license, you don't have insurance. I mean, all the stuff we always talk about. But, I mean, to give your girlfriend's ex-husband's information, I mean, either she told you stories that you think, oh, well, I'll get him now. You know what I mean? Like, she's told the hater stories.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, do you think you're not going to get caught when you tell a lie that close to home? Like, we're not going to find out? So the ex-husband did get a notice in the mail saying you failed to appear for court and there's a warrant out for your arrest and they're trying to figure it out. And we actually went back to the body camera footage and ran through it. And now we were able, obviously, to go back to her and identify the real the real culprit, who didn't have any of the stuff we just talked about, driver's license, insurance. We ended up, now he, you know, obviously, like most things, when you don't just fall on the sword, you end up committing a worse crime, and was arrested on stiffer charges.
So walk me through that that traffic stop where he gave the ex-husband's name and date of birth. Did he have the ex-husband's license as
imagine because they went through the body camera footage, I imagine that this woman, the woman involved, probably has a stereotypical guy she dates that looks like ex-husband.
Oh.
And okay. So when he rattled off the name, had all the information, they're able to look it up on their computer and see that there's a valid driver's license. It may not pull up the picture, but it'll say there's a valid driver's license in the system. And so that's how the guy pulled it off. And
well, I mean, I'm thinking when he's driving away from that traffic stop, he thought he got away with something huge.
Yes. Yeah, so he ends up getting charged with providing false information, criminal impersonation, false reporting, forgery. And then obviously we quashed the warrant that was in the system for the ex-husband, who was grateful, who probably subsequently got back together with the ex. No, I'm just kidding.
I doubt that happened. I sincerely doubt
you never That's know. True. Yeah. Stay tuned to next week's Justice File when we say that we pulled them both over.
There could be more drama ahead.
Oh, my
Stay
God.
Stay tuned. Oh. Let's talk about this disturbance. A concerned local called for help after hearing a loud bang sound, followed by yelling in a neighborhood unit, reporting that it sounded like a couple fighting.
We had a call just like this a couple weeks ago on the Justice Files.
And we've got another call on it today. Here's the audio from 911.
911, what's the address of the emergency?
Could you send an officer?
Okay, what's going on there?
There is some type of, I don't know if it's a domestic violence going on, but there's a lot of screaming and yelling and banging. And this is not the first time.
I got it. You said that you're just hearing banging and it sounds like it's a couple fighting, is that right?
Yes, and there's a lot of screaming and yelling.
And it sounds like it's a male and a female?
Yes.
Have you heard anything that they said?
It just sounded like someone was saying, I really couldn't hear. I mean, it doesn't sound good.
Okay.
Just completely woke me up.
I'm so sorry. I'm going to send an officer over, okay? If anything escalates before you see an officer show up on scene, please feel free to call me back, okay?
Okay, will do. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, hello. Hey, I'm Deputy Sullivan with the Sheriff's Office. We got a report that there was loud banging coming from this apartment.
Yeah, I was mad I broke my shower head.
You broke your shower head? Okay, are you, like, hurt?
You can't make this up, Tom.
Okay.
I'm calming down.
I have audio files to prove it.
I got mad at my shower head.
I have two faucets in the shower head, and I went to angle it, and it broke the head off.
Okay. Is there anyone else inside?
No.
Okay, you live alone?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the...
No, it's the shower head?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you, like, slip and grab it?
I was trying to, like, angle it.
Okay. Are you, like, hurt at all or anything?
No, I'm fine. I'm just a little cranky because I'm on the patch for nicotine now.
Yeah. Okay. Believe it or not, you're not the first person I've had who's been called in as a... injuring themselves or breaking their shower.
Oh, no, I didn't get injured, but yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah. Is it a rental or?
No, I own this place.
Oh, okay. So at least you can fix it yourself and they're not.
Yeah, I'll call a plumber.
Yeah.
I'm lucky because I have two faucets on the shower heads. So.
Yeah.
Getting upset at your plumbing. This happened before on the Justice Files. I remember this.
He kicked his shower.
Yeah,
the shower door. Yes,
yeah, right.
That was it.
Yeah.
This is a shower head now.
Different guy.
There's something in the water, apparently.
Oh, man.
It's either making shower doors fall off or guys like this, it breaks the shower head and throws a fit and starts stomping and banging enough to wake some neighbor up who thinks there's a domestic violence fight. A man and a woman, so he must have been yelling and then high-pitched and then yelled at. And then I mean, can you, and he's screaming at his broken shower head.
I,
Right.
There's nobody to scream at other than himself.
There's nobody to scream at.
And it's the neighbors that you're waking up.
And it's the middle of the friggin' night.
Jeez.
Oh, my God.
So everybody was fine in this incident, and I'm guessing he was given a stern warning to be quiet.
Yeah, deputies, you know, obviously made sure that there was no dead body in the shower. And
good. It's always a bonus.
There was just a dead shower head. Oh, and just confirmed the guy's story and went about their way, I'm sure, shaking their head like, oh, my God.
Only in Summit County.
Only in Summit County.
Well...
maybe not.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
I'm sure if it's happening here, it's happening all around the world.
For sure.
Let's talk about a disturbance. Deputies responded to St. Anthony Summit Hospital for an intoxicated patient who had been brought in following an incident where he was knocked out by a bar bouncer for being unruly and refusing to leave. He was reportedly uncooperative on arrival at the ER and was fighting with nurses.
Yeah, you know, we have talked about these on the Justice Files before, and it's unfortunate that, you know, lots of times, especially more, I'd say more so than ever now with alcohol and substance abuse, that these people end up in the ERs. And sometimes they're out of their friggin' minds, as this guy was. And deputies respond there more often than you think to try to settle things down. And the hospital has security. But sometimes it's just too much for them. They're private security.
Yeah.
And they're like, screw this.
Call the sheriff.
call the sheriff.
This is over our heads.
Yeah.
Above our pay scale.
And as often happens, you know, the deputies get there and the person in this case sees that it's the deputies and they go, oh, better cool down, and acts all apologetic and cool and calms down. And deputies go, okay, just don't get out of control, Tom. And you go, oh, I won't, deputy. Thank you. Have a nice night. And you're still in the ER. And then next thing you know, 5 minutes later, another 911 call is coming out that he's assaulted nurses and locked himself in a bathroom.
Jeez.
I mean, it's crazy.
Wow.
And, you know, oftentimes, you know, doctors and hospital staff, nurses, are conflicted on whether to press charges or not because they think that they're there. You know, it goes against their ethics of trying to save people to then jam them up with criminal charges. And this is one of those cases where the staff there decided that at that time they did not want to pursue any criminal charges.
Wow.
But we've had it the opposite. We've had it where they've done quite some damage, you know, tens of thousands of dollars worth of damage to the
bodily harm, too.
And bodily harm, yeah. Where the hospital did go after him. So, but not on this night. And after the second time, he did calm down. He may have been sedated, too, by then, though.
Yes. Sometimes hospitals have ways of doing that.
They have a way of just sticking you with a needle, and all of a sudden you're... And maybe that's the point, is to try to get stuck with the needle, so you're like, la-la land.
Oh, don't give people ideas.
I know.
What are you doing? Oh,
that is a... Forget that.
There's a search and rescue incident where an Uber driver was transporting four passengers to Bailey when his GPS directed him over Georgia Pass. Despite the passengers expressing to the driver several times they don't think he was going the right way, the driver insisted on following the navigation instructions. We have a 911 call.
Yeah, before you get to that, so to paint the picture, right, okay. For the listeners, as you know, Georgia Pass up Tiger Road is a summer-only road. But sometimes GPS doesn't know about weather and snow.
Right.
And this Uber driver, who's obviously not familiar with our county, and these people obviously were. They obviously have done this before where they come from Bailey to Breckenridge.
Sure.
And this Uber driver was sure that you could get over this mountain pass into our – and Bailey's a neighboring county.
Yeah.
And but it's a high mountain pass you got
to
over.
Well, even in the summer, to think that GPS is directing you over this pass that you pretty much have to have a four-wheel drive vehicle.
You have to have a four-wheel drive vehicle.
Yeah.
I mean, if you take a two-wheel drive, you could.
You're not going to get anywhere. Okay, let's listen to the 911 on this.
911, what's the address of the emergency?
We received an SOS activation from a Google device, and I have coordinates to their location. They activated it from their phone, and they did fill out a search and rescue survey.
So it was a vehicle emergency, is that correct?
So it is for their car. They're stuck. They had sent us a message as well that states, please help, we're stuck in the forest with no food or water, we need help quickly.
Do you have a live connection to them?
We are able to send them messages back and forth. They did also state 5 people in our car is sticking in about knee-deep snow in the middle of a national forest.
Jeez.
Oh, are there medical
this
issues?
This guy's saying this with a straight face.
No, ma'am. Okay. It did not state.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and just make an assist for them and see if I can't get some help over there to them.
Okay, perfect.
Yep, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Bye-bye.
Georgia Pass in the wintertime.
Can you believe that?
And GPS is sending you over there. It's like, what? Okay, what map is this? Is this Apple Maps, Google Maps? We got to make a complaint because this is not right.
Yeah, I got to imagine. It was probably Google Maps because that was a Google person where you hit the SOS button or a Google phone, I suppose.
Yeah.
But, you know, you talk about cops and dispatchers being jaded. How about an answering point like where this guy works, where he gets these distress calls from vehicles all the time?
Right.
For him to repeat that, so just matter of fact, just I mean, how do you say that without laughing? Like, yeah, this guy drove up a mountain pass.
Unbelievable.
And as you know, the snowmobile tour company up there grooms that road.
Sure.
So as soon as you hit the snow and you see the groomed,
you're thinking, oh, maybe I can, yeah, this is real. Yeah, it's been plowed. Oh, it's groomed. It's a trail. And yeah, it's on, like a couple feet of base layer snow that grooming is on. So they were in a foot of snow.
Yeah, they were stuck up to their axle in snow. Our deputies obviously have the equipment, especially our backcountry deputies, to get up there. And they were able to tow them out of that mess and quickly then issue the driver a citation so that hopefully he learns his lesson about not to drive up mountain pass, snow-covered mountain pass roads. The funny part is, you know that before he gets axle deep in snow, like he had to start going, ooh, this doesn't feel right or sound right. Like, well,
and you've got 4 passengers telling you that you're going the wrong way.
That obviously have done this before, going, you can't go over Georgia Pass in the winter. Not in a car.
No.
Certainly not in a car.
Maybe in a snowmobile.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe. Well, let's talk about this next motorist assist item. For the second time in one evening, a driver attempted to traverse again Georgia Pass.
You read that right, Tom. This is the second time in the same night. Back-to-back calls.
And they did not have a snowmobile either. No. This time, a juvenile snuck out of his house late at night to take a drive and clear his head. And after traveling several miles up the road, he became stuck and had to walk back towards Tiger Road to find help.
And this is a local kid.
The local kid.
There's no excuse.
And he's driving up there just to clear his head.
I guess his head wasn't clear. And
right.
He couldn't see the snow-covered road either. He lives here and knows.
911, what is the address for emergency?
Good Times Adventures, we're the caretakers on site. I just woke up to a gentleman pounding on our door out here at Tiger Road saying that his car is stuck somewhere towards George Pass and that he's walking to service. So, gentleman sounds like he drove his car trying to get to Georgia Pass at nighttime. And I don't know where he got stuck. I don't know. I don't know if he's drunk. I don't know what's going on. I wasn't going to take him in. I told him where to walk to get service, but just wanted to let you know that there is someone walking up Tiger Road if you guys want to pick him up and try not to get too close. He was just banging on all the doors.
How long ago was that?
I don't know, probably within the last 8 minutes. I woke up from sleep and threw pants on, grabbed the jacket just in case, just to check what was going on. And he was looking at all our snowmobiles, and so I just opened the door, shouted at him, and he was like, "Hey, my car's stuck." And I was like, "Dude, I can't do a whole lot for you. That's the way to service, you know." So,
okay.
I was like, it's definitely not an emergency, but also wanted to let you guys know.
911, what's the address of the emergency?
I don't know. I think it's my son in his car.
Okay. Well, do you know where he is?
No. I just got a concerning call from him, and he woke me up, and he snuck out, and he turned off his location on his phone.
Okay, so did he call you?
He called me just now. I thought he was in bed, and he said mom, and it kind of cut out, and it connected to like my AirPods. So I eventually hung up the phone thinking maybe he was sick in bed, and he wasn't there, and now I can't connect the phone to him.
Okay. Did he sound like he was in distress?
Yes. Yes, it was like a worried mom. And that's all I heard from him. And I've been trying to call back, and it's going to voicemail.
Okay.
I just called you first because something was, like, it sounded wrong, right?
Yeah. Okay. I am getting a different call from someone. Let me put you on a brief hold. I want to...
Okay, I'm going to try to see if I can find the person in the meantime.
Okay, thank you. Just a brief hold. One moment.
So these calls are all coming in around the same time, and this dispatcher is putting it all together.
Hi. No address. I'm in the woods up really far down Tiger Road.
Did you just stop at Good Times and try and get some assistance there at a snowmobile company?
I did.
Okay. Yeah. I think we're trying to look for you, actually. Are you still on Tiger Road?
I am. I'm walking north towards Breckenridge Golf Course area. I have not seen any buildings since Good Times.
And you're walking northbound to Breckenridge, is that right?
Yes.
Doesn't know direction
either.
Okay,
we have an officer that's on Tiger, and he's driving and he's looking for you. Is your vehicle stuck on Georgia?
Yes, my vehicle is roughly, I want to say, 8 miles, 10 miles south.
Okay, and it sounds like maybe did you call your mom and ask her to call us as well?
I tried getting in touch with my mom. I lost reception before I was able to talk to her.
Okay, it sounds like she's also calling you and trying to get you some help, okay? I am going to stay on the phone with you and just make sure that my officer finds you, okay? Are you still walking or are you stationary?
I'm still walking.
You're still walking. Okay. I'm just going to make sure and see if I can make sure you're walking in the right direction here. Yeah, it looks like you are.
Technology.
And then the officer looks like he's about 3 miles away from you, so you just keep walking, and as soon as you see that cruiser pass you, I want you to wave your arms above your head so he knows that you're the one he's looking for, okay?
Okay, I understand.
Put your hands in the air and wave them everywhere.
You know, thank God the dispatcher was smart enough in real time to start putting all this together.
Right.
Pretty cool.
Because all the calls came in at the same time.
They all came within moments of each other. And she's like, wait a minute, I think we're all talking about the same kid here. This is another kid that in the middle of the night stole his mom's car, drove up Tiger Road, got... you know, axle deep in the friggin' snow, decided to hump it out and went pounding on the doors at Good Times as the snowmobile company at the top there.
And got a signal just enough to call mom to worry her to death.
To worry her more, wake her up to find the kid missing.
Right.
And meanwhile, you know, deputies are trying to respond up there. He's lucky this guy at Good Times didn't have a gun and, you know, think it was an intruder and shoot him.
Yeah.
I mean, these things have had, you know, really bad endings. But the kid just kept walking. And when he got cell service, he called 911, and they triangulated this and were able to pick him up and deliver him back to mom. And I'm sure he had a really expensive tow because we didn't go get his car out. I'm sure the next day, you know, there's companies you can pay to go up there and get your stuff. But it's not cheap.
No, not at all.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine? Poor Good Times. We talked about it. They grooms this.
Yeah.
Two cars in the same night. Back-to-back ruining their trail.
And those are just the ones that they catch.
Those are the ones they catch, and they've got to go now and try to fix it before the morning, and they open up for snowmobile tours.
Wow.
Crazy.
Let's talk about this criminal mischief incident. There is a Dillon Valley man that was frustrated by the loud music coming from the woman living above him, which he claimed was shaking his floors. He contacted his property manager to express his concerns. The property manager advised him to handle the situation personally by asking her to turn down the music. The man approached the neighbor's door, knocked, received no response. He knocked again, this time harder. He reported that when he knocked harder, the door opened slightly, prompting him to yell, "Hello, inside." And when there was still no response, he exclaimed, "Okay, I'll call the police." And this is where you come in.
So, yeah, this is one of these situations where, unfortunately, the property manager told him to go handle it. I mean, right then, can you imagine? Okay, well, Tom told me to go over there and handle it. I'm going to handle it.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. So as this guy's knocking on the door to try to resolve this with his neighbor, and, you know, as you had just read, that the door kind of cracks open, and he's like, ooh, that's kind of weird. I'm going to call the police because this is really strange. Turns out, the reason why she didn't come to the door is she was in the shower.
Uh-huh.
Thought an intruder was breaking in. And so she called 911 as he's calling 911. And again, thank God the dispatcher puts it together like, wait a minute. I think the same people are calling about the same place with two different lenses, right?
Yeah.
And she thought that someone was breaking in while she was in the shower. She had left her door unlocked. And it scared her to death. And they ended up getting together and resolving the loud noise issues. But can you imagine that they're both calling 911 at the same time?
And again, shout out to the dispatchers for being able to put it together.
You know, it's pretty crazy, but that's God amazing. Bless them. Good job on them.
Huge, huge work. Let's talk about a dispute. A woman at a party became upset and began causing a scene. The resident of the unit asked her to leave, but after several unsuccessful attempts to get her to go, a group of other partygoers helped usher her toward the door, and she agreed to leave. After she left, she remembered that her ex-boyfriend, who lived in the unit, had stored something of hers in the storage closet and wanted it back. She returned to the front door, demanding to be let back in. And when the residents refused, she walked around the building and threw a large rock through the open sliding glass door to get their attention.
That she got their attention.
I would think so.
She got their attention enough for them to call 911. Can you imagine? This is the guest you have at your party. Now, again, you don't think a little overconsumption of drugs or alcohol.
Maybe.
Maybe. But I've been at parties like this, of course, in my younger years where that person is there, you know what I mean? Like so wasted that they're out of control and they're showing the door and they're like, you can't get rid of them.
They keep coming
back. They keep coming back. So she came back, got their attention, and she really did have something. The deputies show up. She really did have something in the storage unit. They got it out for her. They gave it to her. And the people in the party just wanted her to leave. They didn't want to pursue any charges with her either for vandalizing the glass door. Whoever's house it was, they had to answer. Someone had to answer to that.
Somebody had to.
But, you know, you often wonder, like, when people don't want to do anything about it in the end, especially with something like this.
Right.
You think, like, okay, what are you not telling us?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, what goes unknown in this situation?
Like, they just want the cops to go away. Like, don't worry that she just smashed out probably $1,000 sliding glass door. We'll take care of it.
We're not getting our deposit back.
We're not. Exactly. Hey, and let's invite her to the party next week, too.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
She was a lot of fun.
I can imagine the life of the party. Let's talk about a traffic stop. A deputy attempted to initiate a traffic stop, and the driver immediately sped up and turned in an attempt to elude the deputy. The deputy did lose sight of the vehicle for a short time, but was able to locate the vehicle and stop it.
Yeah, you know, this is, again, one of the ones that we continually talk about. The reason why this person ran was because they had no driver's license, no insurance.
Outstanding warrant?
No outstanding warrant, wow. But they had one of those tuned exhausts, so it's super loud.
Oh, yeah.
And then they had window tints that were so black that you couldn't even see through them. So, needless to say, the driver was ultimately summoned for all of those issues, as well as now trying to elude the deputy instead of just pulling over.
I could never figure out those cars, what we used to call rice burners.
Yes.
Yeah. And they get those exhausts tuned so loud. It's like, how can you stand driving a vehicle? I can't stand it when you go by me. And you're like sitting in the vehicle driving it everywhere with that noise.
And usually those same ones are the ones with the huge boom boxes in them and the bass. And they're just thumping and everything's vibrating. And oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
And it's, yeah.
Some people enjoy that experience.
It's all illegal, by the way.
Let's talk about the tinted windows.
Yeah.
What are the laws?
Well, the laws, you know, they talk about a percentage like 20%, but I would tell you that, you know, if we can't see through them, they're illegal. And also, I don't know why. If you've ever tried to look through one of those windows, there's no point to getting them that dark.
Yeah.
You can't see through them. They are a hazard. And we will cite people for them. I mean, because they are absolutely a safety hazard.
But I live in the mountains and the sun's so much brighter.
The UV.
Skin
cancer.
Yeah. I need protection.
Vampires. You know, they try not to smile too much because sometimes you might see their vampire fangs.
Ooh.
You're like, oh, I know why you've got those.
Okay. Yeah. You're one of those
and
people.
And that screechy exhaust.
So he got tickets.
And then, you know, has to go strip off those tents before they go to court to prove that they've been stripped.
Let's talk about another traffic stop. A deputy attempted to initiate the traffic stop. Nope, that's one I already did. Nope. Okay,
yeah.
Next. Moving along.
Moving right along.
Our next item is dog versus dog human bite. A couple reported a dog fight between their English Shepherd and a Rottweiler on the walking path. Neither dog was injured, but the woman was bitten on her hand, and it was unclear which dog bit the woman. But the Rottweiler was the aggressor in the dog fight. The couple expressed their distress, feeling that the Rottweiler was too dangerous and that its owner was not equipped to handle such an aggressive dog. And we have audio on this incident as well.
The woman with the Rottweiler that attacked our dog is heading back to the parking lot now. I have her name and her phone number. She didn't have any ID with her. Dog saw our dog like from 200 feet away and just took the stance. And we were going to try to walk by both dogs on leashes. And as soon as we got like within 50 feet, that dog just burst into racing down, growling. The lady could not control.
Okay. When did this happen?
Right, 10 minutes ago.
10 minutes ago?
Called in that dog attacked by the Rottweiler out of French Colts.
Yes, sir.
Is your officer on the way out here?
Yeah, I have given it to the animal control.
So this guy keeps hanging up and calling back. Like he thinks he's getting a different call center.
Both of us have blood on us, not a lot, so there was blood in the but, you know, I went down hard. My right shoulder hurts. I don't know what happened or what's going on with it. You know, I'm full of adrenaline.
So is the owner of the other dog there with you also?
She left the premises. She's off duty now. She's not answering her phone.
He's calling back again.
Rottweiler had rabies, you know, rabies vaccinations will not. She did not let me know a person was bit dog, and she did not follow up.
Okay, what's that into the number?
No, she was very vague and very unresponsive, and I'm not happy about it. I'm not going to get into that right now.
I know nothing other than that she did nothing.
I know nothing.
I'm going to have him reach out to you.
We had a dog bite.
So this guy calling back again.
Again.
Another call again. To 911.
Unresponsive. She's off duty. We don't know if this dog has rabies. She was supposed to check to see if this dog has rabies with the owner. There's no information.
He doesn't realize he's calling the same person back over and over.
And he's thinking he has to explain the whole thing from the start over and over and over to the same people.
Do we need to go through the emergency room? Do we need to go somewhere?
Did you just call about 10 minutes ago?
Is another dispatcher.
Yes, I'm trying to find out if this dog has been checked that it has a rabies shot.
I understand that, sir, and all that information was taken from you 10 minutes ago and given to a sergeant with the Summit County Sheriff's Office who is going to call you back for the information about that.
See, the dispatchers are getting a little tired of it.
Yeah.
I'm in a dispatch center in Frisco. Your information is given to a sergeant.
Is he going to call back again?
What can I do for you?
I think it's the body cam now. Okay. With the sergeant.
Right. Not much. We had this dog incident today. And
now he's explaining it all to the sergeant, who has it all.
I'm getting, resolve out of the communication.
Well, at least you know if the guy's getting his story straight, if he has to tell it over and over and over, and it's the same story. It's like, okay, that's, I can believe that.
There's this discrepancy there.
Well, I'm asking, because I wasn't on that call.
Okay.
If you are the one that you were bitten, or were you the owner of the dogs?
This is where it's good. A Rottweiler attacked us today.
Okay. So you guys are the victims of the bite. I just asked because I'm looking at.
He's just trying to figure out who he's talking to.
It should not even have gone this far. It was very simple. A Rottweiler attacked our dog and Prince Gulps.
Yeah.
Point blank thing. This dog needs to be quarantined. Put down, whatever. It doesn't matter.
So
I guess that's
it. It looks like the dog is on quarantine.
What do you mean?
Based on Animal Control's notes that I see, the dog that did the biting is on quarantine.
Well, yeah, because they put that in. Both the dogs, our dog and their dog, is on rabies quarantine for 10 days. Because there's an incident. Nobody checks on this stuff, but it goes automatically into that mode, right?
Right.
I don't know what that woman is. I don't know who it is. I'm never going to talk to her again unless it's in a court.
Sure.
But, this is what's very confusing because you don't, you're wasting your time and my time with this. I don't know why they put you on this or what you're going to do about it. But we need to know that that dog has a rabies vaccination.
Okay. So my understanding of how they normally operate is when they put the dogs on quarantine, they have a certain amount of time to provide the records. And then as soon as they have the records from the other dog's owner, Animal Control will usually call you and let you know.
All right.
But there's not...
Hence the quarantine.
There's not like a national database of what dogs have records. And so...
Now you're spewing all kinds of stuff as well, okay? It's very simple. So now I am going to get my gal. We are going to go down to the hospital and get her checked in a waste of time and money because we don't have the information that you are not providing.
So I don't think they have that information or they would have provided it to you.
It's just that animal officer should have been up to the incident immediately today, but no, she's in Frisco eating donuts or doing whatever. I heard the kids in the background. I was in a fight with the Rottweiler that was on a mission to kill a dog today.
So I guess you're wanting to know if the dog has rabies, but from what I see in their notes, they have no rabies vaccine on record, and they have a request to the vet's office that the dog goes to for the record of the rabies vaccine.
But nobody's following up.
This was today, correct?
Well,
there's a 10-day window period. This
was
day one.
Well, I show it as today, right? So I don't, if a vet's office isn't open to give them the records that the vaccine is in place, they wouldn't have that to give you.
Okay, more excuses. That's all I get all day long from everybody.
Well, how would you
call him back?
I guess I don't understand how you think they can get that if they don't have it. But she can't force a vet's office to come in on a Saturday and give the medical records, right?
All right. This conversation is going nowhere.
Okay.
I appreciate you helping me.
Yeah.
And then I will continue and I will go to the higher-ups.
Okay, sounds good. I will let Animal Control know that you...
Wow, our instant gratification society. Why isn't this done now?
Isn't that crazy?
Holy cow. That's
again, the patience of these deputies that deal with these people.
Yeah.
Saying, okay, today's it happened today.
Today.
It's a Saturday.
Right.
The vet's not even open. There's no way to get the record.
Even FedEx can't get it to you that fast.
Hence why you
Right?
Yeah.
And animal control always suggests that if they've actually pierced the skin, go get it medically looked at.
Yeah.
While we wait for and that's why the dogs are in our 10-day quarantine to make sure that there's no rabies.
But it wasn't done fast enough.
So therefore, I'm going to keep calling 911.
Over. How many times did he call 911?
I think it was like six or seven times.
Yeah.
It was over and over. You saw until that one dispatcher's just had enough. Like, stop calling.
Stop.
Stop.
Ay, ay, ay. Everybody got set on their proper courses.
Everyone got on their...
No other issues out of that.
Yeah, they did confirm that in the end, both dogs had rabies shots.
Okay.
They were both covered.
Okay.
Animal control said that that they would help, facilitate restitution for any doctor bills or, any of that kind of stuff. But both dogs were leashed at the time.
There's a fraud and theft item that happened in late September of 2025. Detectives were advised of an internal theft occurring within Summit County government.
Whoa.
HR advised a former employee that they used her purchase card to make several thousand dollars in unauthorized purchases. Some of the purchases included DoorDash, Expedia, hotels, Apple Pay, renting an Escalade out of state, and various personal items. Summit County government.
Yeah. Interesting, right?
Yeah.
So as it turned out, this was a really complicated and extensive investigation for our detectives, including, numerous search warrants, and had to piece all this together to separate what were valid purchases and what were personal purchases. And it turns out that the department that this person worked at in Summit County government, they themselves oversaw purchasing for that department, so it was easy to conceal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How long did this go on?
I don't know. It obviously went on for quite a while until they got caught. The suspect was additionally, ended up being charged. It came to like $24,000 of unauthorized purchases.
Wow.
Personal purchases. And so they were... there was an arrest warrant put out for, various numerous felonies. And obviously the person doesn't work for Summit County government anymore. But it was brought to our attention by Summit County government, so good on them. But, just trying to be completely transparent there that, we investigate everybody.
Even when it's in-house.
Even when it's Summit County government.
Getting it taken care of. And that's a wrap for this week's Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke with Crystal 93 here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons in the Summit County Justice Center. And remember, knowledge is power, and a little laughter along the way doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, and just so we're clear, our coverage doesn't include every crime. We leave out the most serious and sensitive cases, and all suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. With that said, my friends, stay safe, stay informed, and if you're thinking about committing a crime, just remember, it never ends well.
And if you're thinking about going out for a drive, don't drive up Tiger Road, for goodness sake.
Especially with the incoming storm.
Oh, my God.
Or you just might have our next feature on the Justice Files.
And if that's your goal, well, good luck to you.
And we'll talk about you and laugh.
We'll be glad to laugh at you.
The levity of the Justice Files.
You can also read the Summit County Justice Files on the Summit County Sheriff's Office website at summitsheriffcolorado.gov. Until next time, this is the Summit County Justice Files, where law meets laughs, and justice always has the final say. And as always, Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, thank you for your service.
Yeah, let's do it again next week.